Morning. So my name is Günther, for those of you who don't know me. So I want to ask you guys something. Who of you like games? Put up your hands. Who like playing games? Okay. Quite a few. Who of you likes to win games? Yes, that's especially lekker. For who of you is it difficult to lose? Sometimes difficult, though. It's not always so lekker. So, I recall a story about 10 years ago. I was in Stellenbosch University as a student, then I bought this one game called Settlers of Catan. I think most of you maybe know it. Who knows that game, just for interest's sake? A few people. So, it's almost like Age of Empires, but on a board game. A bit simpler, but very fun, very competitive. So, I bought this game. It's a fun game. And I taught everyone, that I could get my hands on who would play with me in the church. And what happened is, I didn't win a game for, I think, the first 7 games straight. So the people I would teach, they would start beating me because I just didn't win. And that was hard for me to swallow, eh? Because I thought, hey, I know what this game's about. You know, I can teach you the game, but you beat me. So it took a lot of losing for the Lord to humble me, to make me realize it's okay, you're not that great. So. Yeah, the Lord uses games also, so I love games. I think the Lord really uses it. And I think to a point where I lost so much that I actually started becoming okay with it. And I could actually get to a point where I could actually start rejoicing when others win. I know that's sometimes a bit difficult, but I think the Lord did something in me by using games and by losing a lot. So yeah, if you lose, don't get angry, get humble. So I also want to link it to a story in the Bible where the story of the tax collector and the Pharisee that goes to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee's prayer goes like this. So just a note, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of verses. Otherwise, we're going to be sitting here the whole day. So if you want the references, you can ask me. But the Pharisee went up and he says, "Thank you, Lord God, that I'm like not like these sinners, that I'm not like an adulterer, I'm not a tax collector, but I do everything right. I tithe and I do all my rituals and things like that." That's his prayer. "Thank you, God, I'm not like these people." And then you get the other guy, the tax collector, and he prays, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And maybe Elmer, if you give that first verse, that's sort of the crux of this one. It's Luke 18, verse 14. This is what Jesus writes when he gives this parable. I tell you, "This man went down to his house justified rather than the other," speaking about the tax collector. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." And this tax collector, actually, that's sort of the heart. Because actually all of us, even though you are a sinner or tax collector, we all need the mercy of God. And he saw that. The Pharisee didn't think he needed it because he did everything right. And he actually exalted himself in his own heart, while the tax collector made himself low before the Lord. So I want to ask this. Do you ever think of yourself as being the most important person in the room? Okay, and if you're alone in the room, it doesn't count. But but still, if you're in a group of people, do you ever think, "But hey, I'm actually the most important here"? You think you're better than others. Am I maybe better than the people in this room or walking down the street, better than the people in the street? For whatever reason, I don't know. Sometimes we think this. I think we all struggle with it. It could be you think your intellect makes you a bit better than others. Maybe your money. Maybe the background you come from. Maybe even the way you are humble, you think you're better than others. Or even your spirituality, how you see all the angels flying around and you see something of God that no one else sees. I think sometimes these things can become a reason for us why we think we might be better than others. And I think it's something very subtle we don't always realize. It just creeps in so slowly. And we think, "Oh, but I'm actually better." And you don't even say it. You just keep it in your heart. But this was not the case of Jesus Christ and his example in the Bible. He wasn't someone who just thought he was better than others. And actually, he made us. He is God. So let's have a little bit of a look at his example. So this is the main scripture I want to use for today. So this is a bit long, but it's important to get this one across. So if you forget all the other scriptures, remember Philippians 2, verse 1 to 11. Okay, here we go. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. So that first part, sorry, you can go back to verse 1. It's a lot of words, and I always don't understand it. But I read up a bit. Actually, you can also read it as since. Since there is encouragement in Christ, since there is comfort from love, complete my joy. This is Paul writing. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and in one mind. The rest of the verse is actually speaking of this mind that he wants us to have. What is this thing that Paul is saying? I want you to be like this. Verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit. So conceit is a big word. It means excessive pride in oneself. So do nothing from rivalry or conceit, excessive pride in yourself. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. See that again. Count others more significant than yourselves. This is what Paul is writing. This is the mind he wants us to have. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think it's so easy for us in today's time when social media and marketing is flashing all this stuff. You need this, you need that, you need that. You're actually thinking about yourself. But how often do you think, oh, my friend actually needs that? Like, oh, this person I know, he actually is in need of that. Let's sort him out. But we're just thinking about ourselves so often. So Paul is writing, don't look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Verse 7. But made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So let's just go back to verse 6. Sorry there. Have this mind. This is what Paul is actually speaking about. That Jesus, even though he is God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That's meaning he was in heaven, and even that space of being perfect, in that perfect environment with the Father, with the Spirit, he did not even count that position as something, oh, I'm going to hold on to this. I'm not going to let it go. Even that, he held with an open hand, saying, I'm willing to actually be made in the form of man, to be made in the form of a servant. And actually, that's for all our sakes that he did that. And that is for us the perfect example of humility. How he was actually willing to help us and exalt us in a way by becoming lower than us as a servant, actually to serve us by dying on a cross for us. Just think about that. Will we do that? If we were in heaven and now got an option to go to a people who you made and they will probably reject you, they won't see who you are, they won't understand what you say, and then they actually will kill you in the end. And Jesus chose that because it was for us, for our benefit. So we can just go on to the next verse there, Almar. Being found in human form, verse 8. Being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And the last one, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Go one back, one slide back. So God has highly exalted Jesus, so God the Father. Now we see something else of God's heart, how God actually exalts. And you can see it as God the Father is above and the Son submits himself under the Father, the Holy Spirit in a way under the Father and the Son. But here we see the Father actually bestowing glory on the Son, someone who is, in a way, submitting under him. And that's something of the heart of God, that he bestows glory, he exalts, he lifts up. And I think that's something of the essence of humility. Okay, that was a bit long to go to this scripture, but I think it's important. If it's something you want to go back to again and again after the sermon, it's this scripture. Okay, so let's go on. Let's look at how does Jesus look like a servant on earth? What is Jesus like? Who is he and what did he do? And I want to go to the ask you a question. Is Jesus someone like this? You stand like this and say, bow before me, servants. You know, is he saying, come and do my bidding, follow me? And he's not like that. He's not someone who just commands you to just do what I say and come give me the glory. But he's a bit different. One day every knee will bow before him, that's true. But or is he maybe like this? Now you'll know why I have this button jacket on. Or is this maybe more the picture of Jesus in the Bible? Someone will actually go on his knees and say, but I want to wash your feet. Don't we sometimes get the picture of Jesus wrong, of who he is? And he's so hard trying to give the message of who he is over to us, but we're just not seeing it. Even his disciples, they didn't see it. And Jesus, he knew who he was. He knew he's the Son of God. And he actually went down to wash his disciples' feet when they, not one of them were willing to wash the feet of the other. Not one of them. They just thought, no, it's not my position. No, I'm not worth this. There must be a servant in the house. I'm referring to John 30 now, where none of them were willing. And Jesus, in the end, he took off his outer garment. He put the towel across him, and he bent down and washed their feet. And this is what he said at the end of John 13, verse 13 to 17. One after this one. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Next one. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you if you do them. If you do what Jesus has said, if you follow his example. So what does this mean for us? Does this mean we must now go around washing feet of people? No, that's not what Jesus meant. He didn't mean it in a literal sense. He meant something different. I think what he meant there is actually have a heart of servitude for one another. Exalt the other person. Count them as more significant than yourself. And let's just look at some of the disciples again, just how wrong they got this thing. I think we're also very similar to the disciples many times. If we look at Mark 9, verse 33 to 35, and they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? So all the disciples were arguing who's the greatest among them, and this and that, who's got the highest place of honor. And verse 34 says, but they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Next verse. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. You must be servant of all. You guys are arguing about who's the greatest. In a way, don't you see my character? That's not who I am. You must be willing to be the servant of all. Look at the next one, Mark 10. So this is now James and John. They're coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, can we get this seat of honor? Can we sit on your left hand and your right hand? And Jesus says, but you do not know what you're asking for me. Like, that's for my father to decide. But you will drink the cup that you say you can drink. But I can't say if you're going to sit the left or right hand of my father. And then verse 41, this is now where this part comes in. Now the other 10 heard about this, and they began to be indignant at James and John. So the word indignant means also a big word. It says feeling or showing anger or annoyance at what is perceived as unfair treatment. So now the other 10, they think, but no, we've been dealt with unfairly. That's not right. They're going to get this position of honor. That's not right. And now Jesus says, no. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. As in verse 42. And great ones exercise authority over them. Next verse. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, so that's a lot of examples. Are you guys still with me? So this is the Lord Jesus that we serve. This is part of him. He's got so many areas, but this is one aspect of him that I'm touching on now. And that's to have the heart of humility. And I've got another example here just to help drive this point in, because I think we need pictures as people. We need examples to see, actually to see who Jesus is, but also see who ourselves are. So I want to look at Moses also. So in the Bible it says that Moses, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And he actually wrote that book. Isn't that a bit weird? He wrote about himself, he's the most humble person. You can really go to the verse. Let's just show that it is in the Bible. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. So meek, I think that speaks to humility. He's more humble than anyone else. So how can you do that? I think oftentimes our definition of humility is, no, you can't say the stuff that you are because then it will become over as prideful. So you can't say, for example, for me, I'm good at mathematics. Then, no, it's prideful. But it's part of who I am. If I think I'm better than others because of that, that's pride. But if I see myself as the same, no matter the skills that we have, that's not being prideful. So Moses could write this because humility is actually exalting others, counting others more significant than yourself. Then that is humility. And just a quick example of how this worked. So we can go to Numbers 12, verse 8 to 13. It's all a bit of backstory, but I'm just sticking to the main scriptures. This is a situation where Aaron and Miriam came to Moses and they said, and they were a bit, you know, omgekrap with him. They didn't like him. Or they liked him. Let me get my words right. They spoke against him. That's the words of the Bible. What happened is they were a bit like, he married this Cushite woman. And I don't know, maybe the culture is different. Maybe she wasn't an Israelite woman. So they were a bit of, they've got a bit of a thing now here. When they say, but can't we also hear the Lord as Moses hears the Lord? And in a way, they spoke against him. So then the Lord heard what they said. And the Lord called the three of them to the temple of meeting, and he met them there, and then he spoke. This is what the Lord said to these three now. With him I speak mouth to mouth, now speaking about Moses, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. So his presence went away. The next one. Then the cloud... Then the cloud removed from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous. That's leprosy. It's a sickness we don't see anymore, but it's almost like your flesh starts rotting off your body. It's quite intense, like snow. And Aaron turned to Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned." Next verse. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her, please." And this is interesting to check Moses' response. Imagine someone came to you and said, "No, but you can't hear the Lord, and no, I've got a problem with who you marry and all of that, you'll probably be like, oh, I'm actually feeling a bit hurt now. I can't deal with this now. But actually, Moses' response is he didn't care about that. His focus was so on lifting others higher that his immediate response was, oh, Lord, heal her. He didn't even care about what they said to them. His concern was, I want you to be healed. I want to see that you are counted more significant than myself. And we've seen a lot of examples of Moses in the Bible. And just one more to just smash it lekker. So there was also a time when all the Israelites, Moses was up speaking to God in the mountain, and then all the Israelites with Aaron actually made a gold calf and they worshipped the calf. Moses came down and he's like, what have you guys done? I'll go to God and see if I can make repentance for you guys or ask for forgiveness. So he went to God. And then speaking to God, he's like, God, but, you know, can you forgive them? And but, check this verse, Exodus 32:32. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. So now he's actually saying, but God, I'm lifting them up so much higher than myself. If you can't forgive them, but rather than just take me out so that you can forgive them. He actually counted his life as so, or maybe let's say this, he counted others so much more significant than himself that even he would say that. Who of us would say that? God, for the sake of my brothers here who are falling into idolatry, rather just blot me out so that they can be saved. That's crazy to think. And that's why I think you could write, he's the most humble man on earth. So that's crazy. So let's quickly summarize what I've said. What is humility? Humility is not thinking less about yourself. It's not making yourself a bit lower and saying, oh, but I'm actually not so good and not this and not that. You must be honest with who you are. But it's about thinking of yourself less. So humility is not thinking less about yourself. But it's thinking of yourself less. So thinking more about others. And Andrew had this quote here in the Isle of Man 4:12 conference 2022. Humility is using all that I am and all that I have to exalt others. That's basically the essence of humility. Using all that I am, all that I have to lift others up, to count them as more significant, in a way to support them. So that's a good teaching also to go look at if you want the reference afterwards. Okay, so we need to humble ourselves. That's important. That's the attitude we need to take in. And the opposite of humility is pride. I've spoken to it a bit, but pride is basically exalting yourself. I'm saying, I am lifted up. So the word exalt, once again, means to think or speak very highly of someone. So to exalt others, you speak highly of them. To exalt yourself, you speak highly of yourself. You think highly of yourself. Other word is to raise to a higher rank or position. So if you're here and you raise yourself a bit higher, then that's in a way exalting. So what we see in the Bible is Satan actually exalted himself to the throne of God. He wanted to make himself like God. So he was created lower than God, and he said, but I want to be like God. So he exalted himself one step higher. That's where pride came into the devil, into Satan. And that's what pride is. And we also sometimes do it. We think, oh, but I'm a bit better than that person. Well, actually, the heart of humility is you exalt others, hey, but you rather take the higher place. You take the better seat of honor. So we've seen some examples by now in the Bible. We've seen Satan, who had the desire to be like God. So these are things for us to check out in our hearts. Do I want to be like God? Am I seeing myself as morally self-righteous, like the Pharisee? Do I have ambition to have the places of honor or the places of prominence like James and John? Am I trying to get that space of power or of even a corporate place? Do I want that place? Am I fighting for it? Do I think it's mine? Or fourth, even confidence in your own accomplishments. Do you feel like, because I've accomplished X, Y, and Z, now I'm better than the rest? Or now I'm actually, I'm good. Good job. Pat on the back. So These are just some examples for us to see this thing, because if we can't identify it, there's actually some severe consequences. But I'll get to that in the end. So hold on to your seats. We're getting there. So some questions to ask. Are you teachable? Or do you think you're more intelligent than everyone else around you? Do you think you've got all the answers? Or are you actually willing to listen to someone and acknowledge, if you're really humble, you can learn something from anyone and everyone? Or do you just think you know it all? Consider that. Do you maybe struggle to submit to leaders because maybe you think you're more mature than them, or you know more than them? But God didn't actually prescribe that in the Bible, that your leaders need to know more or be more mature than you. He said, submit to your leaders. And in the end, God puts leadership in authority. That's what God does. But I don't know. If you want to wrestle with God and challenge him on that, go ahead. I don't want to be in the wrong side of God. So I'll rather humble myself than think I know better than God and what he's put in the word. How do you respond? Third question. How do you respond when you're brought low? If the Lord humbles you and makes you low, how do you respond? Do you say, no, but I deserve better. I need that and I need that. Or do you say, Lord, cool, let the other people have the better seats. How do you respond when you abound, when the Lord gives you a lot? Do you say, but now I'm actually better than the rest. I've got more money than the rest or more popularity. Or do you say, even though I have this, what does this count? I use it to exalt others and lift them up. Or do you feel entitled in some situations, thinking you deserve this? I think these are all questions to ask ourselves and actually tests that we will face as we go and through life. So why am I sharing all of this? Why is it important? Because I think it grieves the heart of God if we've got pride in our hearts. If we have any little bit of this thing of pride, that I am important, we're actually grieving the heart of God. It makes him sad. Not just that. Let's put up 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to 7. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Just casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So that's actually, you can cast it on him, your anxieties. Go one back, please. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So do you want to be opposed by God? I don't know if I want to be in that situation. I'd rather make sure I'm humble all the time before I get faced with the wrath of God. And we see a lot of examples. He does humble us. If you're not going to humble yourself, you will humble you. So that's why it's so important. We don't want to be resisted by him, so we need to humble ourselves, to receive his grace, to receive his help, to not think we're better than others. To actually say, but God, I lift you up. Not a scripture I just got in prayer meeting is, what is the Lord required of you? But to walk justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. Micah 6 verse 8. To walk humbly before your God. Are you even humble before God? You know, in your position to him, do you think you know better than him? Do you think maybe, what's your posture towards God? Are you, Lord, in everything be exalted? In every single thing that I do, you get the glory, you get the honor. So what now? Maybe now you realize, ish, I've got some pride in my heart. And you're like, this sucks. I can't believe I'm such a failure. And I want to encourage you guys. Okay, we're all failures, yes, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't need to end there. We can actually choose to humble ourselves. And what we need is actually the power of God to come and sort this thing out of us. I'm just going to paraphrase. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3 to 4, it says, he's given us divine power for living a holy life, for living godliness. So we need his power to actually come and change us. We can't just now say, okay, I'm going to choose to exalt others. You'll see sin will keep on drawing you back, and you will keep on saying, "What? No, but a little bit of the glory for myself, you know, nature libre." And that's not the heart of God. We need to get his power to actually overcome this thing properly. So I'm wondering, even in this, maybe if the band can get ready with that one song I asked you guys. Maybe you're realizing, ish, I see all these things in my life. In a way, I hate it. I detest it. Because I don't want God to resist me. I actually want his grace. I just want to create a space where we can actually meet with God now. And if you feel, but this has hit me into my heart, I think there's different ways we can respond. But the Bible says we need to humble ourselves before God. So we actually need to humble ourselves. So even if the guy's getting ready for the cookies, you can still wait a bit. We're not finished yet. So you can still join us. But yeah. So what I want us to do is maybe some of the guys who want to just kneel before God and actually make right with him and humble yourselves, find a place somewhere around here and just speak to God. Pray, Lord, come reveal to me, is there any pride in my heart? Is there any area where I've exalted myself in my heart, thinking I'm a bit better than others? Some people will externally show it and tell everyone how good they are. Some will just keep it in their heart and be quiet. Outwardly, they might look like the most humble person, but inwardly, you know you've lifted yourself up. Yeah, so this is a hard message, but I don't want us to be in a space where we're just hitting our head against the wall. We're not breaking through into the presence of God because we actually have pride in our hearts. I want us to be people who can walk in the grace of God, allow his power and love to flow through us, and that's why we need to deal with this thing. Because actually, life is going to be easier, I think. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 says, you can just put that on, last one up. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's the place we want to get to. We actually come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm heavy laden. This thing of pride has actually become a burden on me. Because I don't think you can have fullness of joy in his presence if you've got pride in your heart also. If you let that thing go, the Lord will actually start giving you more of his joy in his presence. He will stop resisting you because you have humbled yourselves. And he will start giving you your grace, his grace, that we actually need. So maybe as Ian plays, find a place. But even if you want prayers for specific things, come to the front. There is space. Just stand here. Some of us, maybe some people, have a lookout for these guys. If you come and stand at the front, it's a sign you want to be prayed for. If you're doing your own thing, make ready with the Lord. And let's just create that space to respond to him with what he said. Amen.